Our commencement speaker today is John Coleman, a 2004 graduate of Berry College. John is the Chief Operating Officer of Invesco Private Markets and the Chief Administrative Officer of Invesco's Global Institutional Client Business. Invesco is a global asset management company that manages $995 billion of assets. John previously served as Invesco's Global Head of Strategy and Business Planning, and his professional experience includes positions in energy arbitrage, consulting, and housing and community development. John is also actively engaged in community affairs. Governor Nathan Deal appointed him to the boards of the DeKalb County Schools and the Georgia Student Finance Commission. That's the group that oversees HOPE and TEG scholarships, so we're thankful to John. He's a member of the boards of the National Monuments Foundation, the Georgia Charter Schools Association, and the Georgia Independent College Association. John is also a member of the Berry College Board of Visitors. He has been recognized on the 40 Under 40 lists from both the Atlanta Business Chronicle and the Georgia Trend Magazine. And in 2018, he was selected as a Presidential Leadership Scholar. John has published 2 books and is a regular online contributor to Forbes Leadership Channel and the Harvard Business Review, where he focuses on personal development and leadership issues. John graduated from Berry summa cum laude with a major in economics and a minor in government. He was an honor student, a resident assistant, and vice president of the Berry Investment Group. He was the outstanding student in economics in the Campbell School of Business. He won the Hammond Poetry Award and the Martha Berry Outstanding Student Award. He is also a member of the forensics team, winning 160 awards, including the Pentathlon Scholar Championship, the top speaker in the nation his senior year. No pressure, John. Just to round out the picture, I should also note that while at Berry, John once attended a white Christmas holiday theme party dressed as Betty White. For those of you who remember Betty White, that he used to carry volumes, scrapbooks full of pictures in his wallet. This is pre-iPhone era. And that his friends say he always smelled nice, usually lavenderish. So, John earned a master's in public administration from the Harvard Kennedy School and a master's in business administration with high distinction from the Harvard Business School, where he received the Dean's Award for Leadership and Service. This will be the second time that John has spoken at Berry's commencement. The first time was 15 years ago when he was the student commencement speaker. On that occasion, he somehow managed to work both Britney Spears and Michael Jordan into his commencement remarks. So John is not quite as young as he looks. It's a delight to welcome John Coleman back to the Berry commencement podium.
President Briggs, trustees, faculty and staff, parents, and distinguished graduates of the Berry College Class of 2019, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. And please give yourselves a round of applause. It's a big day. It's a big day. I'm grateful in so many ways today. I'm grateful to be back on a campus I love and admire, speaking to students who genuinely inspire me. I'm grateful that neither Professors Mike Bailey nor Frank Stevenson were allowed anywhere near my introduction, although I am worried about whatever the source for some of your anecdotes was. I'm grateful Dr. Michael Papazian still hasn't asked me for the honors philosophy paper I owe him from the fall of 2001. I'm grateful that I'm pretty confident my friend in the shorts in the front row is going to laugh at any of my jokes that fall flat. And I'm grateful to all of you for allowing me the next 1 or maybe 2 hours to speak to you today. It's very generous. I'm sure the rain will hold. But most of all, I'm grateful to President Briggs for that, shall we call it, revealing introduction. And indeed, I don't know if I smell like lavender today or not. You can ask my wife. But you know, Steve, I think you missed a few things. Did you know, for example, that in third grade, I won the Arbor Day Poetry Contest my first time entering? I've met 4 U.S. presidents, only one of whom filed a restraining order afterwards. As a well-adjusted adult, I've got subscriptions to both Netflix and HBO now. The Netflix subscription is technically my mother-in-law's, but I think you get the point. And in the immortal words of Ron Burgundy, I'm kind of a big deal. At least that's one way to tell my story. The way I like it most, neatly arranged, unfailingly positive, and like a really good Instagram post, perfectly filtered to show me posed and positioned in the best possible light. We all prefer the filtered life, right? On Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, WhatsApp, and LinkedIn, we post the best pictures and most impressive stories. We take thousands of photos of our travels to the beach in foreign cities and almost none of our daily commutes or unflattering hair days. In our resumes, we spend hours and hours poring over every bullet point and descriptive statistic to paint the perfect professional portrait. And when friends and acquaintances see us on the street and ask, "How's it going?" we say, "Great," or "Good," or "Fine." But there's another way to tell our stories, right? At least I know there's another way to tell my story. You see, when I was born, my family lived in a trailer park in Florida, not in a mansion in Buckhead. In kindergarten, I was held back a year because of learning disabilities. Throughout school, I excelled at some things and failed at others. There were entire years I tried to keep my head down so that the popular kids wouldn't treat me so badly. And when my own popular moments came, I too often used those to treat others the same way I had when I was on the outside looking in. Here at Berry, life was pretty good. It had its ups and downs, sure, but it gave me my first international trip, thanks to the incomparable Peter Lawler, my first taste of intellectual life, and a great group of friends. When I graduated on May 1st, 2004, almost 15 years ago to this day, I was on top of the world. I had a 4-0, a few awards, and I was our student commencement speaker. The topic of my speech was failure and how great it was to fail. Bold talk for a 22-year-old. Really good preparation for the next couple of years. You see, when I graduated, I didn't really have a job. I don't know where you'd have put me on that list, Steve. That sound familiar to any of you? Yeah, see, parents, don't worry so much. I had a summer position at a policy fellowship in DC. I quickly realized I didn't love it. My girlfriend dumped me. I lived in a tiny studio apartment that had a Murphy bed that folded up into a wall-length mirror. And I ate so much ramen that they won't have to embalm me when I die. Midsummer, I decided to enter the private sector with no real idea what to do. I was rejected application after application after application until on a Friday afternoon, literally the day before I was losing my corporate housing, I received an offer from an energy trading firm and accepted on the spot. After couch surfing for 2 weeks, I had to find a house. So I moved into the basement of a townhouse I found on Craigslist with a 40-something-year-old divorced clarinet player. One of the first nights I came home, he and 20 of his closest friends were gathered around a karaoke machine in our living room singing Madonna's Like a Virgin. And I knew in that moment that I would never date again. At work, I was the world's worst energy trader, and my firm graciously let me quit before I was fired. I was fortunate to receive an offer from one of the world's best consulting firms, and I thought, this is it. Things are about to turn. They did, for the worse. That first 8 months in consulting was brutal. I worked 80-hour weeks, I gained 30 pounds, yet another long-term girlfriend dumped me, and once again, I was failing at work. At one point, I literally walked into the HR office at my company and attempted to quit my third job in the 2 years since I had been our graduation speaker. You know, as I gave that speech on May 1st, 2004, I thought, I am the BMOC. By spring of 2006, I thought, man, I am a POS. Then a funny thing happened. That'll kick in later, for those of you not laughing. Then a funny thing happened. Things got better. My friend John made me get out of my apartment and pick up tennis. When I tried to quit my consulting gig, some colleagues took me under their wings and helped me make it work. When I decided to take some time off dating, I ran into an old Berry College classmate, Jackie Fite, whom I hadn't seen in 5 years, and that turned into a relationship that would become a marriage that would include 3 truly wonderful kids, all 3 of whom are here today, and only 2 of whom appear to be watching YouTube videos. At my lowest point, I rediscovered a faith from which I'd wandered and a family that I hadn't loved well enough. Those highs didn't last. I've experienced more ups and downs in the 13 years since, but I've begun to accept the messiness, to embrace it, and to share it more unfiltered with those who care about me most. And today, apparently with thousands of 20-somethings, their parents and friends, and the kind of random people who show up at Saturday morning commencements, I see you, Sam Jones. Graduates, I don't know your story, but I bet it's a lot like mine. If it isn't now, it will be. You see, at 37, I realized what I didn't know at 22, that the filtered life of Instagram and Facebook isn't simply unrealistic, it's damaging and isolating. And if I could give you one piece of advice today, it would be to live your lives less filtered. Living less filtered doesn't mean oversharing. Today, maybe, but not usually. Frankly, we'd all be better off if we deleted social media and never again live-streamed videos of ourselves baking cookies or going to the dentist, especially if you intend to be the 24th person to announce for the presidency this year. Instead, living unfiltered means embracing and being honest about both the good and the bad you experience with those you hold dear and with yourself. That breakup you had wasn't really mutual? That's okay. Acknowledge it. Your job's not going so well? Face it. Learn from it. Don't pull an Elizabeth Holmes and fake it until you risk federal prison. Need help? Ask for it. Let others in. That last part may be the most important. Research shows our generation growing more isolated and desperate. Most recent Gallup polls show record levels of fear, anger, and sadness worldwide. At a time when we're more interconnected than ever, we're also lonelier than ever. We keep our relationships superficial and unreal, so concerned with putting our best foot forward that we forget to extend a hand. In my life, parents, friends, mentors, and teachers saved me from my darkest moments and celebrated with me in my greatest triumphs. But they couldn't help me until I opened up and let them in. I'd also encourage you to be the kind of friend with whom others can live an unfiltered life. Be pushy. Be genuinely happy for your friends when they are happy. Mourn for them when they mourn. Sit quietly with them when their life is a mess, and they need to know it's okay for it to be that way. Look, you're Berry College students. Strike that. Today, you're Berry College alums. I know you can do this. I've heard the stories of the last couple of years. You've experienced loss in your time on this campus and pulled together in love, even when it was hard. You've embraced Martha Berry's motto, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. But the temptation as you leave this place, or even as you approach your 10th or 15th or 20th year reunion, will be to live life less real, to filter more, to fake it more, to polish your resumes and bios until they shine, not knowing that they actually look better and more impressive with the scuff marks and the weathering of time. Today is a wonderful day, graduates. Ironically, you may get a taste of the messiness of life. To paraphrase Alanis Morissette, it's kind of like rain on your graduation day. Celebrate. Take pictures. Don't be afraid to spruce them up a little bit, particularly if I'm in them. Enjoy your family and friends and take pride in what you've done. But don't fall prey to the error of our age and start to screen out the messiness of your life. At lunch today, talk to the people you love about their highs and lows, the things they regret, and the things about which they are proud. We all have stories, graduates. Learn to experience yours and others more fully. Congratulations, class of 2019. I wish you humility on your mountaintops, resilience in your valleys, and a life less filtered every day. Thank you.